chapter number 9. John chapter number 9 and also Matthew chapter number 28. John chapter 9 and Matthew 28. Thank you again, Pastor, for this opportunity to be able to stand in your place. And I know I don't take it lightly. Anytime I've given the opportunity to preach the Lord, I'm thankful to the Lord for this opportunity because I certainly don't deserve to be here, but I'm thankful for what God has called me to do and to be in His house. I'm thankful that I can leave my church and still go to church. Amen. I'm thankful that I can leave my family over there and find some more family. All right. I'm thankful to be here tonight, and y'all have been a blessing to us already. We find in the book of Matthew, chapter number 28, looking over in verse number, we'll begin reading there in verse number 18. We find what we know as the Great Commission, a very familiar text of Scripture here. And we'll read what the Lord has to say in Matthew, chapter number 28, this Great Commission, verse number 18. It says this, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." He tells us there in Matthew chapter number 28, verse number 18, or verse number 19, he tells us to go into all the world. He gives us instructions for what He wanted us to do when He left the scene after He had resurrected from the grave. He's standing there. He's there with His disciples, and He gives them instructions. They had already served with the Lord in His time that He was there on earth. But what He told them there that day was this one thing. There's still work to do. There's still work to do. I want to preach that thought just for a little while tonight. There's still work to do. Let's pray. Lord God, we come to you tonight in the name of Jesus. God, the name that's above every name. God, I thank you so much for Calvary. God, I thank you, Lord, that you paid that sin debt that I could not pay, that you became my sin, though you knew no sin. You bore it all the way to Calvary, and you willingly laid down your life, Lord, so that I might have the free pardon of sin. God, that I might have a relationship with you and might have a home in heaven. God, we'd never be able to thank you enough. Lord, we sure just want to tell you that we love you. We thank you for this church and this pastor. God, for what they've done, and we thank you and praise you for what they've done. But God, I pray that you'd remind them tonight that there's still work to do. God, I pray that you'd forgive me of my sin, anything that would be a hindrance to your spirit tonight. God, I pray that you'd remove it far from this place. God, I know that there's nothing special about me. God, there's nothing good about me save Jesus Christ living on the inside. God, I pray that your Spirit would speak tonight. Thank you for your Word. Use it tonight to touch hearts and change lives. God, if there be one here today that doesn't know you, I pray that you'd save them before it's everlasting too late. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. There's still work to be done. We're given here in Matthew chapter number 28, the Great Commission. The Great Commission. And he says in that Great Commission, go ye into all the world. That seems like a pretty big task. That seems like a real big task when you get to thinking about it. How in the world can we go into all the world and preach the gospel? Certainly, there's probably little to no chance that Brother Therrell Boland's ever going to make it to everywhere in the world and ever preach the gospel. I think you got a great preacher here, Brother B.J. Mills, but chances are he's not going to be able to go into all the world and preach the gospel. How in the world? I reckon anybody on the other side of the planet knows where Beaverton, Alabama is? I mean, I didn't until I got here today, and I just live. But most of y'all probably don't know where Myrtle, Mississippi is. That's where I grew up. How in the world can this people in this church accomplish such a great task that God has called us to do. I'd say the best way that we could do it, that we could carry out the Great Commission, is just to follow the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for the Word of God and that it gives us instructions on how that we can carry out what God has called us to do. He said in 1 Peter chapter number 2, verse 21, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps." I'm thankful that God gave me a good daddy that loved me and made sure that I was in church, and that growing up, some of the decisions that I had to make were really already made for me because I had a good example and I had a family that led me in the right way. And there were some things that I never had to wonder how to do because I had somebody that told me how to do it. Well, what a great task and a great responsibility that has been given unto us to take the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, His virgin birth, His sinless life, His death there on the cross of Calvary, His resurrection, and His ascension up into heaven, and then that He's coming back one day. That's the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. How in the world has God entrusted it into our hands? Boy, I think about it sometimes, and it reminds me how big He is and how small that I am, that God has given me this opportunity, and I'm thankful that we've been given the example. But we find that nobody in this day and age wants to work anymore. Boy, do we not have a problem in our country this day and age. Do y'all eat brine foods over here? Do y'all have, I don't know about over here, over where y'all, you know you cannot buy brine bologna in the slice packs in New Albany, Mississippi. And that's a problem for me because there ain't no other kind that I want to eat. This man right here is the authority on bologna. How many sandwiches a day did she fix for you when you were working? He took 5 bologna sandwiches every day. He built furniture there. This man loves bologna. And there just ain't nothing else. Brian Bologna, you heard him. There ain't nothing else like it. You know, they've had to shut down the part of the line, the brine plant, that makes bologna because they can't get people to come to work. Can't get people to come to work. How sad is that, that people don't want to get up and go to work and take care of the family that God has given them? We live in a nation where people don't want to work. I'm glad that I grew up in a family that taught me how to work. I'm thankful. I told them, I preached this a couple weeks ago the week after our missions Faith Promise Sunday at our church. And I told them there that day, I said, I have no idea how the billy goats that my granny and pops raised knew when summertime was. But every time I got out of school for summer, it never fails. Them stupid goats would tear down the fence. And you know what I'd do every morning? I'd be over there with pops during the summer, putting up fences and mending fences, putting up new fences. There was always something to do. I'll never forget when I was 14 years old. I had just got out for summer. I had big plans for the summer. I was going to lay on the couch and watch TV and eat potato chips and not do as little as possible is what I was planning on doing. My mama came up to me one day. I was laying on the couch. She said, "Caleb, get up." I said, What are you talking about? She said, "You ain't sitting on this couch all summer long." Yeah. She said, "Put you some clothes on, get on your bike, and ride down the road. They're building a house down there. Go ask them if they need any help." Well, I thought, all right, I'll do it. There ain't no way they're going to hire no 14-year-old. Boy, I was wrong. I got down there, and they said, "Yeah, we can use some help." And I spent that summer working on that house. I made some money. That paid me $8 an hour, and that was 20 years ago. But I learned something. I learned that there was value in hard work. I learned that there was a reward for those that work diligently. I learned how to work. And it's sad this day and age that we've raised a generation of people and a nation that don't want to work. But there's something even sadder than that. In our churches nowadays, and I don't know your church and your pastor ain't talked to me, but we have churches in this day and age where people no longer want to work. They don't want to do that God has called them to do. They don't want to carry out the Great Commission. They want to come. They want to sit on the pews. They want the preacher to tell them that God is good and certainly that He is. They want the preacher to tell them that their sins have been forgiven and certainly they have. Thank God for that. But when it comes time to roll up their sleeves and get busy doing what God has called them to do, nobody wants to do the work that God has for us to do. Look at John chapter number 9. How in the world are we going to do what God has called us to do? We're going to have to work. We're going to have to roll up our sleeves and get busy. How in the world are we going to do that? Just do it like God did it. Just do it like God did it. Look at John chapter number 9. John chapter number 9, we find the story where Jesus is going to heal the blind man. If we were to read the whole chapter, we'd find that he's going to spit in the dirt. He's going to make some mud. He's going to rub it in the blind man's eyes and tell him to go wash in the pool, and he's going to be healed. Glory to God, what a miracle, what a God. But that's not what I'm preaching about tonight. I simply want to look at a statement here in verse number 4 that Jesus Christ makes. We'll start in verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Look at verse number 4, what Jesus said. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. If we're going to accomplish the task that God has given us to do, then there's no way better to do it than to follow the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to look at three things tonight, and I'll be done. I would tell you I could get them done in 15 minutes, but my wife would probably tell you that I'm lying, and she would probably be right. But I want to be sensitive of the time. I know we've already been here a while, so I want to preach these as quickly as I can, if the Lord will help me. How is it that we can accomplish the task of the Great Commission? Because there's still work to do. I want to notice how Jesus got it done. I notice, first of all, his commitment to work. Then we'll look at not only the Savior's commitment to work, but the sovereign commission to work. And then we'll notice the sobering challenge to work. Look with me again at verse number 4, and there we'll see the Savior's commitment to work. How do you know that he was committed? He said it there in three words. He said, I must work. That word must carries out the meaning that something is necessary. It's not optional. Jesus Christ said, I must work. He said something real similar when he was a young boy and he was lost and his parents turned back and they found him there in the temple. And when they found him, they said, What in the world are you doing? He said, Wished you not that I would be about my Father's business? He said, Wished you not that I must be about my Father's business? You know, there are a lot of things that we deem necessary in our lives. The last couple of months in North Mississippi, I don't know about this area of the country, is the crappie spawn. I don't know. Do anybody crappie fish over here? Some people call them sockeye. If you're down close to Louisiana, I was preaching on South Meridian the other day, and I said crappie, and they had no idea what I was talking about. They said, It's a white perch, preacher. I said, Oh, my bad. I didn't know. We call them crappie. I done got Brother Andy loves to crappie fish. Brother Jimmy, he's 80-year-old, and he still drags that boat and goes out and catches them crappie. But the crappie spawn every year about that time, about April. And I got into that crappie fishing, and I loved it. I loved to put on waders and go out there in the weeds and the brush and the bushes and go out there and find those fish. And, you know, it's just a short window of time that they're spawning. You can catch them all year long, but this time of the year where they're running up shallow and you can put on those waders and you can go out there and catch them, and we like to feel that thump. You know, them crappie fishermen like to feel the thump and catch those fish. And you know what I'd wake up and do? I'd clear my schedule, and I'd tell my, she'd say, What are you going to do? I said, I got to go fishing. She'd say, You got to go fishing? Yeah, I got to go fishing. What do you mean? I got to go fishing, baby. There ain't going to be but just a couple of weeks. They're going to be spawning out. I have got to go. Isn't that how we do things? It may not be crappie fishing for you. I don't know what it is that's got a hold of you, but there seems like there's always something in this world that gets a hold of us, and we'll prioritize that above everything else in our life. Hey, listen, those couple of weeks, I didn't care if the grass got this high. I was going crappie fishing because that's what I wanted to do. That's what I loved to do, and it didn't matter what else was going on. Listen to me tonight. Would to God that we would get the attitude and have the courage to wake up every single morning and set everything else aside and say, God has given me a job to do and I must work. There's something that needs to be done for the Lord, and the only way I'm going to get it done is to get up and go to work and do what God's called me to do. Not just on the days where you get up and everything's going all right. Not just on the days when you look in your bank account now and there's enough money, not just when your health is good or when you got somebody else to help you do it, but each and every single day we wake up out of bed and say, I must work. That's what Jesus Christ said because he was committed. You want to know the thing that keeps us from being committed so many times? It's because commitment requires a couple of things. It requires personal surrender. Personal surrender. Jesus wasn't pointing a finger at nobody else right here. You know who Jesus said needed to work right here? He said, I must work. Boy, so many times we want things to happen and we want things to get done around God's house. And does anybody out here not want the gospel to be preached? Certainly not. Everybody wants to wants the gospel to go out. But when it comes time to do it, nobody wants to step out and do what God has called them to do. I don't know. There might be somebody in this church tonight. Lord's been dealing with you about preaching the gospel or about teaching a Sunday school class. I'd say to you today, do what God has called you to do. Just wake up every morning. Thank God for the opportunity to share the gospel. And don't worry about that surrender. Jesus Christ personally surrendered. When it came time for somebody to die on the cross for your sins, he left his home in glory and he came and lived that sinless life and he died in your place. He didn't try to pass it off on anybody else. He personally surrendered. But another reason we don't stay committed to the work of God sometimes, not only does it require personal surrender, but truth be told, you don't find this preached a whole lot anymore. But it requires personal sacrifice. Personal sacrifice. I'm just going to tell you the truth of the Word of God tonight. This is not so, although there is prosperity in the gospel, certainly God's going to prosper you. But it's not all raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens sometimes. It might be that God called you to do something and you just might have to sacrifice in order to get it done. That's not a popular message, but it's the truth of the Word of God. You say, well, God wouldn't do that to you. He required it of His own Son. He asked his own son to leave heaven and to come and die in your place. And many times today, we don't accomplish what God has called us to do because we're so caught up in the sacrifice. I love what the Word of God says in Romans 12 and verse number 1. God showed this to me one day, and I ain't ever been able to get away from it. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And we get caught up on that word sacrifice, but God showed me one day the word living. He said, be a living sacrifice. And you and I might have to sacrifice, but we get the opportunity to do it while we're alive. We get the opportunity to sacrifice while we're living. And we can be a living sacrifice because he was a dying sacrifice. He died your death that you should have died. He paid for your sins, and he has given us the opportunity to live for him. Oh, sure, you might have to give up some things in this life to serve him. You might have to give up some things to preach the gospel. You might have to give up some things to put a little offering in the plate at church. But there's nothing you'll ever have to give up or sacrifice that will ever be greater than what Jesus Christ has already done for you when he paid for your sins on the cross of Calvary. We find that our Savior was committed to this work. But not only tonight do we see the Savior's commitment, we notice the Sovereign's commitment. The Sovereign's commission. I love what he said there. I must work the works of him that sent me. He said, there's a work for me to do, and I must do it because of who it is that told me that it needs to be done. He said, my Father's in heaven. He's given me something to do, and I must do it. That word commission, it's not necessarily a Bible word. We call the Great Commission there in Matthew 28. But the reason we call it a commission is commission means this: an instruction, command, or duty given to a person or a group of people. That kind of sounds like a church. Kind of sounds like a believer. And he's given us instructions, and he's given us something to do. It's to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And the way that we're going to get it done each and every single day is for us to wake up out of bed and remember who it is that told us to go do it. You know who it is that's speaking there in Matthew chapter number 28? It's Jesus Christ. If you've got a red letter Bible, you'll find those letters are in red because it's Jesus that is speaking. Listen, it's not Brother BJ that's trying to get you to do the work of the Lord. It's I didn't come here to beg you to do it. Glory to God, it's not a Democratic policy or a Republican policy. It didn't come from the Oval Office. It didn't come from the Supreme Court, but it came from the highest court that there ever has been, the throne room of heaven. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. It's God who's asked us to do it. It's the one who died for us. It's the one who paid the price for our sin. It's Him that's given us this commission. We see the person of the Great Commission is the Lord Jesus Christ. It is Him, none other than the Lord, that gave us this job to do. The sovereign commission. He is the person. We see there in verse number 4 of John chapter number 9, He said, I must work the works of Him that sent me. We find that Jesus Christ was obedient to His Father. Philippians chapter number 2 tells us that He was obedient even unto death, the death of the cross. And certainly our children learn the song and sing, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And certainly Jesus loves you tonight. But the real reason and the greatest reason that Jesus went to the cross of Calvary is because His heavenly Father commanded Him to. Because you'll find there in the Word of God in the garden, He said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He was obedient because it was His Father that had given Him this work. But not only do we notice the person of this commission, but I'm thankful for the power of this commission. Back over in Matthew chapter number 28, after He's given us this job to do, or before He's given us this job to do, He said there in verse number 18, all power is given unto me. All power is given unto me. You know how the power that we're going to use to get the Great Commission done and accomplished, how we're going to get the gospel out to the rest of the world? I'm thankful that I ain't got to drum up the power. I'm thankful that I ain't got to drum up the Holy Spirit. I'm thankful that it's His power that's going to accomplish what needs to be done. All power is given unto Him. Therefore, go ye and preach the gospel to every nation. I'm thankful that the power is not in me, but it's all in Him. I can remember when I was being dealt with by the Lord 2015 for 2 years, I ran from the Lord about preaching. And that was my main complaint. I said, God, I can't. I can't, I can't, I can't, I can't, I can't. Y'all know I still can't. But God finally showed me that I didn't have to do it. It was going to be Him that was doing the work anyway. All He wanted out of me was just somebody that'd be willing to say, okay, Lord, do with me what You want, and God will supply the power. There have been times I've stood up in the pulpit and preached what I thought was the biggest dud on the face of the earth and looked down and there'd be everybody in the altar. I don't know, they might have just been praying for me because I was so bad. But so many times, listen, it's not about me. It's not a fancy outline that I can come up with. It's not about my level of education or how much money I've got. It's all the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all the power that's in His blood. It's all about the Holy Spirit and what He does. It's not our power. All He said to us is go. Go. I can't save anybody, but I can go and tell them, and He can. It's His power, the power of this commission. I'm thankful tonight for the example we find in our Savior. And we see here our Savior's commitment and the sovereign commission. And I want to close with this, the sobering challenge. The sobering challenge. If it's all right, I'd love for y'all to sing that Look What God Has Done here again, just a moment for invitation. Y'all come ahead and get that song ready. The sobering challenge. Jesus said in verse number 4, I must work the works of Him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. Even Jesus Christ knew that His days on earth were limited. And each and every single one of us sitting on a pew tonight, we got a limited number of days that we're going to be here. And all of us as a church and as a people, there is a limited number of days. One of these days, He's going to step out on a cloud and He's going to come back and get those that know Him and have trusted in Him. And in that day, there won't be another opportunity to tell the gospel. There won't be another opportunity to tell your children about what Jesus has done. There won't be another opportunity to share with that coworker what God has done. That aunt or that uncle or that person that God has placed on your heart that doesn't know the Lord, there's coming a day when you will no longer have the opportunity. He said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. I wonder tonight, if I were to ask you just to close your eyes and think for just a moment of one person that you know that doesn't know the Lord. I wonder if you'd be able to think of somebody. It won't take me long. I can think of several. You better witness to them today. You better get the gospel to them today, because you may not have another opportunity. The night's coming when no man can work. He told us there in Ephesians chapter number 5 to redeem the time, for the days are evil. As Miss Diane begins to play,